Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's time for Startup Office Hours. I'm Scott Fox. Welcome. It's time to talk about innovation. It's time to talk about investment. It's time to talk about creativity, making your mark on the world, trying to make the world a better place by building things, by getting shit done and making it happen. This is a safe space for entrepreneurs, angel investors, service providers who help startups, anybody that's involved in the startup community ecosystem worldwide. We're going to have visitors today from all over the world, and I want to welcome you, too, personally. I'm here every month. Here it's lunchtime here in Southern California in my office, so I'm turning on the camera to talk to you. I'll eat lunch later, but I'd rather spend some time with you trying to help you build your business and make a difference in the world and in your own life, too. There's still a ton of opportunity out there at the intersection of digital technologies, commerce, and community. And together, all of those forces are combining to make the world a better place and hopefully make you some money along the way. So thank you for joining me today. If you're here today for the first time, welcome. If you're a repeat visitor, that's great too. If you're watching the replays later on YouTube, that's fine as well. We're going to be talking about the topics that are nearest and dearest to the hearts of startup founders like me. I'm a serial internet founder myself. I've been doing this for, it's been 25 years now I've been doing this. So I've seen a lot of things, done a lot of deals, had a bunch of failures, a few successes, and a lot of in-betweens, a lot of base hits, as they would say in baseball. So I'm here today to help share with you what I can about raising money is our primary topic because that's the number one question that people ask. We can also talk about building teams or AI, of course, a current popular strategy. You can practice your pitch if you'd like. Let me put up the URL for you to join me backstage if you want to share with us a question or a practice a pitch, then we'll be happy to see you as well. We've got room for 10 people at a time backstage, and it's about half full already. And we're going to be taking those folks on camera to see what they want to talk about. And this is a free form. I'm not going to sing or dance, but I'll answer questions as best I can. And most importantly, you all can help each other. Really, the power of entrepreneurship is in the ecosystem. It's people helping people. And one of the main reasons I do this show or host events here and all over the world and when I speak at conferences is to help bring people together. Because what happens, I mean, if you want to raise money, it's based on relationships. If you want to build a company, it's based on relationships. Being a solo entrepreneur is a really hard and rare thing. Of course, the media loves to pick out stories like that, but it's kind of like winning the lottery, right? Most successes are built through a lot of hard work and a lot of teamwork, and that comes from relationships. And these relationships can be with your peers, with your bosses, with your employees, with investors, with service providers, and of course, with customers. So getting all those things together in one place is kind of what we're trying to do here. And I'll turn on the chat room in a minute here, and I encourage you all to make friends with each other. Of course, you can follow up with each other and email each other and network and Instagram each other, whatever it is, however you want to connect. And that's what I'm really encouraging here is building the community together. So I'm Scott Fox. I'm a serial internet entrepreneur, like I said. I'm your host. Not for any particularly good reason, except that I took the position of doing it and nominated myself, and I'm here trying to help all of you. I've been at this for a long time. I've written these books behind me. The three in the middle are in English. The others are foreign translations all over the world. So if you're here from another country or even in another language, welcome. I'm happy to have you here. I'm trying my best for a long time with these books and everything else that I do to encourage entrepreneurship and allow more people to participate in the digital revolution. My background includes investment banking, law, a lot of startups, like I said. But the real reason I do this is because I think that there's a gap. There's a lot of gatekeeping, essentially, that goes on with all the money and technique and expertise and connections that have been built in the digital economy, primarily centered in a few big cities, and we all know what those cities are. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the world doesn't have great ideas, too, and deserve a leg up. So I'm here as a guy who went to Stanford, who's written some books, who's done a lot of deals, trying to invite you to the party that we've all built here over the past 20 years or so, so that you can participate in the revolution as well. So if you have questions, we're here once a month doing this, but we also have lots of other services at startupcouncil.org. I should put up that URL here. And we'd be happy to invite you in to participate in lots of different ways so that you can benefit from all the activities and expertise that we've collected. Let's see, here we go. There we go. So you can join startupcouncil.org anytime. It's free. And what we have there is a ton of services. We've got a startup investors directory so that you can find investors. We have a directory of startups so investors can find you. We have event listings from all over the world, both virtual and in person. We have meetups in almost 50 cities around the world, 50,000 members meeting up regularly to help build the community that I'm talking about here. If any of that sounds of interest to you and your startup, or you're an investor and you'd like to meet some interesting opportunities, or you're a service provider and you'd like to participate and meet more entrepreneurs and investors, let us know. We're here to help. That's literally the model. We're here to help. So if that sounds good to you, you're in the right place, and I'm glad that you're here. So let me put a couple disclaimers here. We've got to let you know that this is not legal or financial advice. This is just for fun on the internet. I'm just some guy you met on the internet. So take everything that's said here with that large grain of salt. We have also need to let you know this is being recorded. It will be online. So if you come on camera or in the chat rooms, don't say anything stupid. We're here to help. But please guard your business and your interests as appropriate. And if you want free publicity for meetups in your town, we have, like I said, we have meetups in dozens of cities across the United States and all over the world, all the way from Manila to Berlin to Philadelphia to Chicago to Sydney to Bangalore, everywhere. And we're trying to organize people to participate and benefit from the digital economy as I have. So, okay, that may be all of our exciting introductions. So let's see what else. I'm sure I missed something here. Give me one more second. Our sponsor, we should mention the National Startups Directory. So this is a directory that we built, like I said, trying to get more founders more exposure. And it's literally free if you're watching this show. We're just getting this started, but it's a way I'm trying to standardize the listings so that investors can find you. So here's the high-tech commercial for that, nationalstartupsdirectory.com. There's a code there on the screen. If you're listening to the podcast, you need to go over to YouTube and watch the video. There's a code there. You can literally list for free. And we're just trying to get a critical mass of people there so that we can help investors find you. And I know that's everybody's number one question. So let's see. I think we're about to get going here. So I'm going to bring some people on camera and ask them what they want to talk about. And if you're not on camera yet, you can be with this link. Let's see. Where is that link? Lots of links here. Lots to say. Lots of excitement. Here we go. Oh, actually, we should say, so there it is, founderofficehours.com. Pretty straightforward. And the backstage looks like it's filling up. So if you'd like to join us, please be sure to turn on your webcam and your microphone. Otherwise, I'll remove you from the backstage. We're only there for people who want to actually talk. If you just want to watch, you can go over to YouTube. You can invite your friends as well. Please do. We're live on YouTube as well as Facebook and LinkedIn and Blog Talk Radio. And happy to see all of you, all those places. And, of course, you can tune in later and watch the replays. This will go for an hour, hour and a half today. I handle as many questions and opportunities for pitching as we can. But the replay is available later, and that's really helpful because I know I talk fast. I get complaints sometimes. So if I'm speaking too quickly, go to YouTube and slow it down. okay, I did that. Let's turn that guy off. This one. Okay, let's get a little more screen space and put up the header here again. And I'm going to bring my friends backstage. I see Henry and John and Jay and Maurice and some other folks. And there it is. Okay, cool. All right, so next we're going to bring on the folks backstage one at a time. Well, we'll bring them all at once, and we'll do some pictures. David and Maurice, you need to turn on your cameras if you want to come backstage. But Jay and Henry and John, I'm about to turn on your cameras. But also it looks like everybody backstage is a white dude. So everybody else, come on back, come on over, okay? I do this to help minorities and first-time entrepreneurs, immigrants, and women. I'm definitely here to help you as well because of the creativity and opportunities that you bring to the table, that diversity is really helpful. So Maurice, thank you, Maurice. You heard me, I guess. All right, so there's at least one guy who's listening. And I guess the sound is working. I forgot to do a sound check. Backstage, you guys good? You can hear me, I guess. I saw Henry laugh when I made a joke. Thank you. Okay. All right, so I'm going to bring these folks on, and we're going to just talk really quickly, super quick, guys, okay, about what you want to talk about. I want to hear just kind of the summary of what you're bringing to us today, and then I can kind of order things in a reasonable order so that we can have a reasonable agenda for our show. So Henry and Maurice and Jay and John, nice to see all of you guys. So can you open up? I'll start with Jay, I guess. And can you just tell us quickly your name, where you're from, and just what is your question or what you want to pitch about, not the pitch or the whole explanation. Just give me some context, okay? Awesome. Go ahead, Jay.
My name is Jay. I live in Washington, D.C. area. I'm a scientific founder, and I have a couple questions about funding options and direction I'm going and some conflicting information I'm receiving.
Perfect. Excellent. That was very good. Jay knows exactly how to do this, and that conflicting information is exactly why I try to do this, because it's really hard to get a straight answer, especially if it's specific to your area. So hopefully we can cover some of that. Okay, Maurice, would you unmute for a second and tell us where you are and what you'd like to talk about?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, my name is Maurice. I'm here in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida. My whole questions or concerns is just when it comes to talking about non-accredited and accredited investors and who you are able to raise money from and stuff like that.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Thank you for that summary. Sure, we can do that as well. Sounds like you two guys have similar interests, so we'll do a lot of talking about funding. That's usually the number one questions we get. So thank you guys for being here. John, nice to see you. How are you today? What's on your mind?
Hey, Scott. It's always good to see you, and thanks for throwing the events gone to in person.
You're welcome.
It's been great. A few years ago, I started the world's first cybersecurity streaming service, with the intent to have videos that would be cybersecurity high level, low level, and it kind of failed spectacularly. So I realized I had to go back to school, get my MBA, which I've done, and really I like to, and why I failed and how I could succeed, because I haven't given up on that, but in the meantime, I've just been doing consulting.
Okay. That sounds like a bigger topic perhaps than we can cover today, but we'll try. Nice to see you. And let's have Henry. How are you, Henry? Nice to see you as well.
Good. Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me here. Yeah. Actually, this is my first time attending your chat, your monthly chat.
Oh, okay.
I've seen you many, many events, and thank you for it.
Yes.
I've updated my pitch deck because we're adding some AI enhancement to our product. And I thought I needed to address that element when I pitch now.
Right.
And so I do have a new deck that I put together. It was easier to write the deck than pitch it. So I start pitching it, and I'd like to do it today if you want, if you allow me to,
yeah,
and get feedback on whether the story is well received. I'm able to turn it down to about a 4-minute pitch. I don't know if that's okay. Sometimes they let you ask it to do it less. But that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get feedback on the deck and the pitch and see whether it's getting close to being effective.
Cool. Okay, that sounds interesting. I put the link back up if people want to join us on camera. David and Bobby, you're both backstage. If you want to join us, now's the time. Go ahead and turn on your cameras. And we need somebody to mute. Okay. Yeah, if you guys aren't talking, please mute for a second. Okay, so here's Bobby, and hi, Bobby, and also David. Excellent, good crowd today. So, but back to Henry for a second. So Henry, yes, we do pitches, happy to do that. We generally only do about 2 minutes because just trying to get the vibe, and we don't use slides just because otherwise, you know, there's always going to be a technical problem. So if that's useful to you, more than happy to do it. If you can kind of slim down and just do the verbal version, then that would be great. So you can think about that, and I'll go through the other people, and you can tell me if that's doable or not. And either way, we'll come back to you. Because I know you know how to pitch. Henry was a pitcher at, when was that, in June? The last
that
we did together? Yeah, right here in Orange County. Excellent. Okay, so thank you. Nice to see you. And then let's bring up, okay, Bobby. Hey, nice to meet you. How are you? Oh, there's Bobby.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry, they're doing construction in my house, so I couldn't join from my house. I had to get in a car.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had a question about pitching to investors or, you know, doing like slides in public where you're expected to show your product, like the images of it or like, you know, like, so my company is creating drones that will expedite medication delivery in remote locations.
Cool.
But, you know, the physical prototype, if people were to see it, they would just copy it because it's much ahead of what's existing in the market today. So how do you kind of go around not showing pictures or only showing pictures when absolutely necessary?
Right, right. Okay, interesting. That's a new question. Congrats. Done hundreds or maybe thousands of these, so glad you're here. All right, we'll come back to you in a second. Well, and where are you from, Bobby? Geographically, I mean.
I'm from San Jose.
San Jose.
Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
I've certainly been there. Okay, great. All right, we'll come back to you. And then, David, how about you? What would you like to talk about today?
There we go. I'm interested in listening to the pitches. I'm really trying to refine. I've got a SaaS software product. I'm a big fan, Scott. I like what you're doing. I'm right here at San Clemente.
Hi.
So I plan on joining some of the events. I'm just, you know, working on the investment banking thing right now. So,
sure.
So but watching, getting the pitch down right for, you know, I'm working on getting customers and then just making sure you get that right. But
yeah.
I'm on both sides of it, which is kind of interesting. I'm listening to the pitches, and then it's just interesting. Giving your own seems different than when you're listening to them. I don't know how to explain that, but
for sure.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, great. So mostly watching today, but you can raise your hand. Backstage, you can wave at me if you decide to have a question, or you can put it in the chat as well.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Awesome.
I'll be cool.
Yeah, no worries. Cool. All right, well, nice to see you. And that gives us a good roundup. We got a couple more people showed up here. There's our friend Randy and Christina as well. Let's see. Hey, hello, Christina. Nice to meet you. And here's Randy. We can't all fit at the same time. There we go. There's Randy. Christina, nice to meet you. What would you like to talk about today?
Hello, everyone. Good to meet you. Scott, thank you so much for doing these seminars and the work that you do in the investment space. Good to meet everyone. My name is Christina Bruhan. I'm CEO of Continuum Market. We are a compliance-focused deal routing software system for the blockchain and AI space. There's a lot of things that are happening that are out of compliance in blockchain and AI. We have an entire network of folks that are looking to set the standards and help the investors and the protocols.
Okay. Sorry, what's your question? We're just doing a question. Do you have a question?
Yes.
Okay.
My question is, are you, Scott Fox,
yes.
Are you working with partners that are non-broker dealers to bring in more deal flow?
Okay, that's interesting. Working with non-partners. Okay, non-broker dealers. Okay, interesting. Okay, we'll get back to that. Nice to meet you. Where are you from?
I am based in Seattle, but I spent 15 years in LA.
Okay, excellent. All right, nice to meet you. Glad you're here. And Randy, how are you today? You got to unmute, Randy. Randy, I know you're...
Sorry, my mic is on mute. My computer was okay. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Great to see you. I don't really have that big of a question. I came in today for motivation. You guys are always inspiring. You have a big win that happened this weekend that got me back on the trail of get this going, motivation, working. So one of my clients, I'll answer it later.
Okay.
But I just want to jump in to get motivated from watching your customers, your clients, whatever you call these people.
Yeah, they're my friends.
Okay, thank you.
All right, cool. All right, well, good to see you. Nice to Randy and Christina and Jay and David, and okay, so now we will get going with answering some questions, and thank you, Henry, thank you, Jay. Okay, cool. All right, so I'm going to turn on the chat room, and you can post in there, especially on YouTube and LinkedIn, and your comments will start showing up, and we'll try to answer those questions as well. I'm going to bring in our friends one at a time or two at a time if they have overlapping questions, and we'll talk through those as well. The idea for the chat room is for you to participate. First, please introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from. That's always interesting, at least for me, to hear how far we're reaching. I know we've got people here probably from all over the world. And then you can also use the chat room to talk to each other. I'm not going to hog the chat room. I'm busy over here, right? So go ahead, put in your URL or your LinkedIn or whatever you want to share and introduce yourselves to each other, make friends, and follow up later because together you can help each other. And that's really the idea overall. The trick is to, so it looks like I had forgotten to turn on the camera, the live button. I've done that before. So we're going to, so far we've got a great group and it's going to be bigger. So we'll be starting with people from all over the world coming into the chat room shortly. Welcome, glad to see all of you. And in a moment we'll be taking these questions. So let's get on. Let me look at what we've got. Jay from D.C., Maurice. Well, let's start with Maurice, I think, Maurice, because you sounded like you had a fairly specific question. And then, Jay, we can go on and discuss further, more detail, kind of what you had in mind. So if you're just tuning in, welcome. I'm Scott Fox. You're part of the Startup Fundraising Office Hours show, and we're here trying to help you build your community, build your fundraising relationships, and move farther, faster in the world of innovation. And I do this to help people around the world, trying to help you get up to the next level, really. A lot of the information and expertise that's been created has been kind of gated off in Silicon Valley and other places. So I'm here at lunchtime, turning on my camera to enjoy the company that we're creating together and have you join us as well. So while I'm talking with Maurice here, Maurice, you just disappeared. There you go. Okay. Okay. So this is Maurice, and Maurice is from St. Augustine, Florida, beautiful town in Florida. And Maurice, so you had some questions about accredited versus unaccredited investors. I'll do my best to help, and hopefully we'll try to get some people in the chat room as well, also with some expertise that might be able to help you. So go ahead. The floor is yours, Maurice. I think you need to unmute, my friend.
Yeah. I just had, you know, some general questions, nothing really specific.
Okay.
I know there's like a limit on the amount of the amount or the income a person can be making before they could actually invest with your company, or you don't know how it works, you know, because I know, like, starting out in fundraising, they say you should start with a friends and family round.
Yep.
So I didn't want to get things all confused where you start taking investments from people, you know, small investments, and then when it's time to take the bigger checks, there's, you know, some issues there because, that's basically where I was.
Sure. No, it's a great question. So what you're talking about, I think, is accreditation. So there are laws, securities laws, you know, all kinds of, can get complicated and ugly. But you're right. Most companies start with friends and family money because the people most likely to invest are those who already know and like you and trust that you're doing something reasonable, even if they don't understand it, right? A lot of us do techie sorts of things, and they may not really know what we're talking about, but it's your mom, right? So she's going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And so that's where a lot of people start. Or, of course, you know, self-funding from savings or credit cards even. You know, I've done that in the past, not successfully. but the real question then is professional sort of funding. So the latter is kind of friends and family first, then angel investors, then venture capital investors. As you move higher up that ladder, the people are going to be more sophisticated. And that's really what you're looking for, is sophisticated investors who have a lot of money to help you scale the business quickly. The trick is, and this is the heart of your question, I think, is accreditation. The laws in the United States say that everybody can't invest in everything. If you want to have accredited investors and you're offering like a real investment, you have to give a lot of disclosure, but you also have to work mostly with accredited investors. And accredited investors are those, as defined in U.S. law, it changes a little every few years. It's more or less this. $200,000 annual income or $300,000 jointly, I think, and then at least $1 million in net assets, I think not including your house. So you're talking about people who are not like the super, super rich, but they're people who have done pretty well or are doing well currently, and they have got some level of sophistication. Now, that's not really an accurate measure necessarily, because you can be a knucklehead and inherit a bunch of money and not know anything, right? Or you can be somebody who works really hard, like maybe in finance, and you really understand the space, but you're junior and you're young, and you only make, you know, a smaller amount of money. So the rules are not perfect. They're constantly under debate. The idea is that maybe there should at least be an exception for people who are, for example, finance professionals. They get this more than other people, even if they don't have a lot of assets built up. And then there are restrictions if you go out for a crowdfunding type offerings or any sort of public offering. When you start marketing securities, the government is very concerned that you're promoting things that the people you're talking to may not be sophisticated enough to understand. And that's where there are limits. There's all kinds of laws that we don't have time to go in today, and it's honestly a question for a lawyer. But there's Reg D, Reg C, there's six offering? There's a bunch of numbers I can't even keep track of that you are smart to investigate. So I can't give you a much better answer than that, except that you're on the right track and be a little careful. At the beginning stages, if you're just working with friends and family, this is not legal advice, but most people just get 10 grand or 50 grand or 100 grand, whatever kind of budget you need from friends and family. Those people tend not to be accredited. But then once you get kind of going and you've proven you've got something going on, you've got some customers, some momentum, then you're going to start moving out to people you don't know. And that's where you're going to need to be talking more to accredited investors. And to do that, you're going to want to ask people, you know, are you accredited or not? And that mm-hmm. means that you have different obligations in terms of how much you tell them or don't tell them. Also, a good way to do that is angel investors often are in clubs. Like, I'm part of Tech Coast Angels, which is a big now national group. There's about 400 of us. Like, we're all accredited investors, right? Or if you have a local university there in Florida where you could go and they have an angel club, like, those people would have done a lot of the vetting to make sure the members are accredited. And that should be able to get you connected with people more quickly than individually interviewing people about their accreditation status. Because people are naturally a little guarded, right? You know, am I accredited or not? Is that your business? I'm not sure, right? So if you go to places where people are actively already investing, they probably are more open to talking about that, and they're probably already been checked, essentially. So is that helpful? Does that give you the...
Sums it up. That kind of gets everything I was concerned about.
Excellent. Okay. Well, nice to meet you, Maurice. I hope we'll see you again.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Next up, let's see, we've got to get that chat room going here. So let's talk about that. So if you want to chat, go ahead and come on in at on YouTube or on LinkedIn, and those comments will post up so other people can see them. And then you all can start talking. Yale is here looking for some in the ed tech field. Excellent. And Yale, I think you even sent in a question, didn't you? About, you're based in Gadara, Israel, right? And you're a doctor. You're being modest. Dr. Yale Epstein. So if you have more to say about that, Yale, you could come backstage and talk about it on camera or just put it in the chat room there, and we'll try to help you out. So let's just talk about this a minute. And then we're going to bring on Jay next. And Jay is going to ask, a little more, some broader questions about investors and finding investors. So am I on track, Jay? Is that kind of what you were thinking?
More or less. Maybe not quite that broad, but let's give it a shot. So I'm getting conflicting information from people with either government and scientific focus and their experience with venture startups in that space, and people with more such as general business and investment focus. So I'm a scientific founder with a recently proven new technology which is currently being tested for provisional patent. I need to build out my team and get development moving forward, which is why we're here. My plan is to apply for an NSF grant and do some SBIR, which I see Jesse mentioned in chat. And I believe those funds will be enough, but I'm concerned that I won't be able to get the funds fast enough to keep things running and rolling forward. My concern is that because the technology is truly novel and requires additional focus, that a VC with voting rights will interfere with the important parts of development and the advancement of the science itself. The business folks seem to think it's good stuff, but just go to see. Do you have any thoughts about prioritizing the funding, their time scales?
Yeah, okay. Thanks for muting. It sounds like you're in a coffee shop or something pretty loud. No worries. That's all right. You're getting some work done. That's cool. that's a large topic, and I think you're right to be concerned, but I get this kind of question a lot. So let me broaden it out a little bit, and then we can get more specific. I meet a lot of founders who are very concerned, in fact, overly concerned about VCs taking control or stealing their tech or any of that stuff. The fact is, that's way overplayed by the media. You've got to get the money so you can get going. So I'm not talking to you specifically, Jay, but if this is helpful, the shoe fits where, right? But a lot of people get so concerned about how am I going to make and control, how am I going to maintain my secrets? And this, Bobby, this is a bit for you as well. If you don't get out there, you're not going to get anywhere. And you just have to give it up a little bit. But so that's one. You've got to get out. If you can't, if you don't go to the events, you're not going to grow. That's one of my sayings. If you don't go, no grow, right? So you got to go out and share. You got to tell people, period. But, of course, you got to be judicious about that, right? So as I was just saying to Maurice, you might want to find an angel group where people have some track record, some reputation, a VC conference that has some, you know, good reputation that they're doing vetting. I mean, this is like, you know, it's just like if your toilet stopped up and you're finding a plumber, you're going to call a few references before you repipe your house, right? Maybe you wouldn't if it was just a plunging job, but if you're going to repipe the house, you're going to check references. That's the same vibe here, right? So I just want to stress that for everybody. Don't be so concerned about sharing your information, because if you don't share it, you're not going to go anywhere. All right, I'm repeating myself. Okay, so if it's a truly novel technology, now you're in a different boat, Jay. That was the general topic, right? I'm glad to hear you're filing for patents. Of course, that's the number one thing we can do. Of course, as you know, once it's a trademark filing, patent filing, everybody can see it anyway. So there's this weird window of when you're going to commercialize, right? So, uh-oh, the clock has started. Again, it's a lot about the partners, and I think you're right in terms of thinking about building the team so that you can execute as quickly as possible, but you're in a chicken and egg situation where you can't build a team without some funding so that you can be ready once the funding comes in, right? And that is a legitimate challenge. That's a thorny enough bunch of stuff. I don't know we can cover it all, but I sympathize. I validate. If people in the chat room have suggestions, please share that, because I know a lot of you are similar technology founders looking for, you know, how to commercialize, and it is difficult. I would also recommend, you said you were in D.C., right? Okay, so Georgetown, George Mason, you know, American, you've got all these great UVA. There's all kinds of great schools around there. They will have technology transfer offices that specialize in this kind of stuff. They are 100% focused on commercializing the patents that come out of their own research programs, not you, but they're probably having programming and events that you could go to and maybe learn more about this. I do a lot of this work, for example, UC Irvine, I'm in Southern California, or at USC, I go to stuff like that, or at Michigan, I'm speaking at University of Michigan next month. So there's a lot of tech transfer services. So quick question, if you can, are you associated with any particular university, or what's your tech network look like?
I do have associations with Georgetown and Cornell. Okay. My particular research has nothing to do with the academic research organizations, so I have worked with them in the past.
Uh-huh.
So I'm beginning to reach out through those sectors. In the D.C. area, most of my connections are DOD, et cetera, so that's not quite as useful.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That makes sense. The other example of places I would be looking is the Small Business Administration. There's something called America's Seed Fund that runs all kinds of programs. I get more emails than I can keep up with now once you get on those lists. The easiest way I've found to come up to speed, and that's what it sounds like you're doing, you must be a brilliant guy. You're inventing new scientific discoveries, so that's impressive. But you're stepping into my world where I know more probably than you do. And the way I learn new stuff is I sign up for a bunch of newsletters and then I read them. And it's like learning a language, right? You learn 5 new words a week, and in a year, you've got a basic vocabulary, right? And hopefully you can go faster than that, right? Go to some conferences, practice your vocabulary, just like you go to Spain, you know, on a trip and you practice your vocabulary. It's the same kind of vibe. And it sounds like you're on that cusp as a good CEO. You've got the tech thing. Now you're moving into essentially coming over to the dark side, come over to my world, right? Like, so you got to meet the people and mingle and try to figure that out. I would say there are a lot of angel investors and consultants. Actually, those are two buckets, right? Angel investors want to help. Consultants want to charge you, so you got to be careful, and sometimes they're the same thing. But people that know a lot about SBIR and SBA and DOD grants, that's a whole world. The SBDC, this is true for everybody listening who's in the United States. The Small Business Development Corporation is a U.S. government taxpayer-funded, our money, that offers free consulting to entrepreneurs. And if you're not already involved with the local SBDCs, then you should find them, because they, again, are offering free consulting, and often it's about commercialization. So that might be another resource. That's kind of where I got. Is that helpful?
It's very helpful. I am brand new to this platform. Christina Bowen has had some experience in that area. I don't know how to reach out to her, so
okay.
I don't know where the chat is.
I don't know who Christina Bowen is. Is that somebody in the backstage chat?
Somebody in the chat, if you look.
Oh, there, okay.
The white,
oh, I see.
Yeah. How do I access these individuals?
Okay, Christina, can you, one of you post, well, for you, Jay, you need to go over on YouTube or LinkedIn. You're in the backstage chat. But Christina, if I don't know how public you want to be with your contact information, but you can post it. I'd suggest LinkedIn is a good way to find each other. You can post LinkedIn. Maybe that would be helpful.
Will do. Thank you
okay.
very much.
All right. Yeah, nice to meet you, Jay. Okay. Oh, there you go. Christina, same. Thank you, Christina. Excellent. Nice to meet you, Jay. All right. Moving right along here to, okay, there goes Jay. Okay, cool. So if you're just joining us, I'm Scott Fox, and welcome to our show. We do this once a month. I turn on my camera at lunchtime to help you get farther and faster with your startup. And this is true worldwide. So if you're coming in the chat room, looks like the chat room's filling up finally. I forgot to turn it on. My apologies. But please tell us where you're from, and if you have questions, you can put them in there. If you'd like to join us backstage, the URL is posted in the RSVP emails that we had sent out earlier, and it's full right now, it looks like. But I'll get to the chat room as well. Let me point out a couple more things, and then I think I want to talk to Bobby because she had a similar question to Jay there. So let's see. Let me find Bobby. Okay. There she is. Hey, Bobby. And you said you were, I'm looking at my notes, San Jose. Okay, so you're West Coast.
Yeah.
All right, nice to see you. Okay, so you've got a cool drone technology. That sounds very cool. Are you an engineer or are you more on the business side?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm a mechanical engineer. I've worked in the industry for 3 years, like applied materials, cool. to a chip manufacturing company, and then I worked at a satellite company. And I've also worked at a flying car company, you know,
cool.
the area. It's pretty crazy with startups.
Yeah, right on.
That really inspired me to create my own technology and company. But
fantastic.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just see, so have you heard of like Archer Aviation?
Yeah.
They're a vertical takeoff. So.
Very cool company.
There's only, sorry.
Very cool company, yeah.
Yeah, I was very inspired by them. But the thing is, after they started their technology, they were kind of the first ones. And now all of these other VTOL companies, they look exactly like them.
Mm.
There's only one company that is actually better, and that has better range than them too, and it's Lilium. And their plane looks nothing like Archer.
Ooh.
And so that's kind of my thing is, when you put it out there, because my drone doesn't look like normal drones. And so when I put it out there, I'm very concerned. Like, I mean, with investors, it's still okay. But when you're pitching in front of large audiences,
yeah.
and there are definitely people in the audience who could try to replicate what you're doing just by the way it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I don't have a good answer for you. You heard what I said to Jay, I think. You got to get out there in order to attract attention, but something as specific as VTOL, by the way, for folks, is vertical takeoff and landing, right? So these are these,
yep.
She's literally talking about flying cars, which is super cool. Design things. Is Archer the one where the platform is, it's like a car, and then it rotates up when it takes off, and it's got like a pod in the middle? Is that the Archer one?
No. Archer is the one where it stays still. Its propellers rotate 90 degrees.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a drone when it takes off,
uh-huh.
and then it has like 8 or 9 propellers.
Wow.
And they all they become like a normal plane when it's flying
right.
in the air, but when it's taking off, it takes off like straight up like a drone.
Super cool.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't have a good answer for you. It's a chicken and egg, and you're smart, obviously.
Yeah.
You got to show them something enough to get them interested, right? The key thing, maybe this will be helpful, when you're meeting with investors, and this applies to everybody, not just Bobby, you're never going to get a check on the first date, right? The whole thing is like, it's like a bar. You meet somebody, you just need to say enough to get the next date, right? And then you have the first date, and you tell them a little more, and then you get the second date, you know? And it's a slow reveal, but... you know, how much you reveal is up to you. And you don't want to give it away. I wish I had a better answer. So somebody in the chat room have suggestions here. It's not an easy question. There's got to be, do you have a good attorney?
No, but I have other VCs that I'm talking to, and they said the same thing. Like, you know, there's just no way around, like, not showing your technology because you don't show it. They gave the same answer as you.
Okay.
Like,
oh, that's a relief.
If you don't show your technology, you're not going to get funding.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy then. Good.
No. Yeah, I'm working closely with a couple other people, and they said the same thing. I guess the only thing I would do is be careful when I'm pitching in front of large audiences and not show the actual pictures. And
but it's hard. As you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, and videos even more. So that is ideal.
Yeah.
But I guess the other thing I would say, so two things. One, if you need good startup attorneys, I mean, you're in San Jose, so they're probably everywhere, but I can introduce you to people. That's one of the services Startup Council has. We work with a lot of people who really are startup attorneys, you know, not like your brother-in-law who does divorces, you know, and car accidents and then wants to help you, right? Like actual startup attorneys, if that would be helpful. And then the other one is, and you probably know this, but since we brought it up, I'll just tell everybody. One thing you don't want to do is ask investors to sign non-disclosure agreements, because that just shows that you don't know how this works. Real investors, like VCs, we see so much stuff, we can't sign non-disclosure agreements because it will just lead to a lawsuit that we didn't anticipate. Even when we're completely ethical, people it just gets messy, right? So in your case, you have a very specific visual communication. I mean, this visual will give away a lot of the pitch, right? So there might be a stage for you to sign an NDA, but it wouldn't be the first meeting is what I'm saying. You know, fourth meeting.
Yeah, that's the other thing I've heard. It's bad faith to have a VC sign an NDA. Don't do it.
Yeah. Well, and even more than bad faith, it just shows you don't know how this works. And that's not the impression you want to give, right? You want to act like an adult, right? So, yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one that gave you that answer. Sorry, I didn't have a better one. So,
thank you so much.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Hope to see you again. Keep us posted. That's exciting. That's exciting, right? Flying cars, man. Okay, so that was Bobby, and we're moving along here. Let me take a couple of the questions from the chat room and see what's going on in our chat room. So let me just run back here. Let's see. So Christina, thank you for volunteering to help Jay. How do you join the video? Yeah, the backstage is already full, guys, so the way to join the video is next time. To sign up early or be here early at on the show, and I put up the URL, but we're just going to talk to the people who are here. I'm sorry. There's only so much time, but I'll be here again next month, and you can go over to startupcouncil.org and get on the newsletters, and we cover all kinds of stuff and offer all kinds of services that I think would be interesting to you. Okay, that looks like the only real question we've got backstage on the chat so far, so let's look at the backstage. Okay, Jay, great, thanks for doing that. And okay, Jesse. Okay, so you're building a team in a rural area. Okay, that's interesting. Let's talk to let's do a pitch. Hey Henry, so where's Henry? Are you still here, Henry? Did you want to practice your pitch? Do you think you can do a 2-minute no slides version, or is that too different than what you had in mind?
I think that'll be difficult for me not having practiced it with this, but then I have a question for you.
Okay.
We have a no-code application builder to help businesses build application faster.
Yes.
I decided with the advent of AI and the impact it has on everything that we're doing, I should update my deck to show that we are active in that space. Initially, we went too much into AI. We're not an AI company. We're a company that is incorporating AI to make our product better. So my question is, from your experience, you know, what's the proper balance to still sell the idea that we have, which is more traditional, but we're adding AI elements in it, and since all the investors today want an AI startup.
Yeah, sure.
We think it's going to help us, but we're not a pure AI company.
Right. Yeah, it's a challenge, right? I think the pendulum has swung so far now that I think you're wise to be wary of being overly AI. Everybody's claiming AI, and those of us that see a lot of deals, we're getting tired of it, to be honest. We don't believe it. So everybody's AI, right? And it's just not believable, and in many cases, it's it's exaggerated, let's put it that way, right? So I think you're wise to kind of dial it back a little, because as we all know, it's moving so fast. But a year ago, anything AI was amazing, and now it's getting more amazing, but we're also seeing the evolution of the market to realizing that AI isn't one thing, it's lots of things, right? So are you building an agent? Are you building a large language model? Are you, you know, where, what piece of this are you doing? Are you going vertical into some industry? Are you going horizontally? You know, and kind of, you know, you can create this whole chart or scatter plot, you know, of like, where are you? So I think if you can restrict or limit, as you were implying, I think I'm understanding what you're saying, you know, what you're doing so that it sounds, well, frankly, so it sounds reasonable. Like, we have thought about this. We're not claiming craziness. We realize that AI is a tool. It's not a screwdriver. It's not a wrench. We're using a hammer because of this, and this is how it fits into our model, and hopefully it's incremental ROI in terms of revenues and sales, you know. I think that is the way to do it these days, especially if you're not a full-on AI company. You're not creating the next, you know, Claude or Llama or whatever. That sounds smart to me. And that's what at least I as an investor would be interested in. Like, I'm interested in hearing, like, anybody that's building their own large language model, you've got to raise billions, right? And it wasn't Elon Musk even talking about raising $1 trillion recently? I mean, some craziness. Like, so that's not realistic for an early stage company, right? So understanding how you're going to use it as a tool to accelerate and augment the capital that we're giving you, that's interesting. To me, anyway.
Yeah, that's what I've done. Thank you for confirming.
Yeah, okay, good. We got the same answer. All right, awesome. Well, nice to see you, Henry. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you somewhere nearby, I'm sure, again soon. Okay, let's try David. Oh, David's waving at me. What do you got, David?
Can you hear me? Okay. I got one for you, and I've heard multiple versions of this. In putting your pitch deck together, right, how... I've heard SaaS startups, right? I don't care about the fancy. Just give me the, you know, what do you do, who you serve, the TAM, right? Projections, right? I don't care about things sliding in or, you know, I don't care about it. I'm probably looking at it in an airport anyway. And then I've heard the other is like, hey, it's the pitch deck for your company. It should be awesome.
Yeah.
Right? You know, invest in having somebody do it for you.
Yeah.
So you find... one better, or is it just a personal thing?
No, I think like most advice, the answer is somewhere in between. The reality is it depends on who you're approaching, right? If you're approaching your mom, standards aren't as high. If you're approaching a group or a VC that does this a lot, like me, you better have it designed. A lot of engineers think it doesn't matter. It does matter, sorry. And it doesn't matter because we care about design per se. It's because it shows that you are playing the game. And we need somebody who's going to play the game because we're giving you our money and we want to know you know how to play the game, right? So the fact is we get dozens, hundreds of pitches and the ugly ones are not as impressive, right? We need to know that you have thought about this from all aspects. We're not funding, nobody funds ideas anymore. So you being a brilliant, you know, solopreneur, just not kind of a thing anymore, unfortunately, right? I wish it was, right? But there's so much competition. The barriers to starting businesses are so low that you need to bring your A game on all fronts. And that includes, I think, pitch deck design. I will balance that, of course, with the people that say you need that the most are the people selling those services, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So like most things, you know, these consultants are actually salespeople. So, you know, they're not wrong, but, you know, you got to be a little judicious about how you spend your capital. That's your job as a founder.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd be in between. The hardest part, I think, if I can elaborate a little, is the length, because there are many different use cases. And like you saw just now with Henry, like we had a conversation, two adults. I want to help him. He wants to be here. But the timing and the format just doesn't quite fit. So you got to have multiple versions depending on the amount of time available and the connectivity, right? Will it work offline? Is it 12 minutes? Does it need a video? Does it not need a video? Can you do it in 60 seconds verbal only? You know, there's lots of versions of a pitch. So that's where a lot of founders struggle, understandably, because you're so concerned about doing, you know, presenting yourself well, you memorize the thing, or so many founders end up, you know, getting in front of a group and then they stand and they read it, you know, and they look at the camera and they read it, and that's awkward too. So practice.
Got it. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Got it. Okay. All right. Yeah, nice to see you. I'm glad that was helpful. All right. I wanted to go to Jesse. Jesse, are you still backstage? Okay. I saw your question. Something about rural. There he is. Hi, Jesse. Where are you from?
Hi, Scott. I'm so glad that you do this. I live in the rural Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina.
Cool. Excellent. Well, yeah, I'm doing this because, yeah, it's to meet you, right? Because there are people in the rural Appalachian Mountains who deserve to be part of the party. So thanks for being here. What's on your mind?
Well, I am a pretty strong inventor, and always right now I've got a manufacturing startup that I'm trying to use for self-funding for larger things that just applies to a kid's toy. But, you know, I'd like to consider all my options and maybe break out of just traditional patterns that I've tried to pursue doing everything myself. So, you know, venture capital is, and angel investors and all that is a fantastic avenue, of course. But, you know, even for something as big as a vacuum insulated panel technology I've developed for a new type of greenhouse agriculture that could really take things to the next level in many, many ways of production and massive energy savings and everything. It just really, for someone like me that's on the technical side, often so overwhelming. There's a particular researcher at the A&M University of Texas that was thinking about maybe we could work together with one of those grants from the federal government, you know, the SBIR or STTR, mm-hmm. I forgot which is which, but yes, there's so much time to look into that. But, you know, doing that kind of thing, you do need to obviously build a team. So I was curious, I guess, first of all, if you are aware, I really need to look into more, of course, but more strategies or networks to kind of maybe remotely build a real capable team, because it's just tough in a sleepy town, you know, and even Asheville nearby, you know, it's going to be hard finding real qualified people for that. And the funding and everything is, like you said, chicken egg problem. But.
Right, right. Yeah, I wish I had better answers for you. I don't. That's why I do this. I'm trying to drum some of that up. I think you're on the right track. SBIR and other federal grant programs, the SBDC that I mentioned earlier, there's probably not an SBDC office in your smaller town, but there certainly are somewhere in North Carolina. And really, you know, I do have an idea, actually. Hold on. Let me pull up. I have a URL for you. And this, here it is. Okay. I thank you. We built this for you, actually. Startupevents.org is the only calendar, I think, in the world that promotes it's a calendar. It's a free email, and we just list events that are for founders. It's startup stuff only, and only remote. So these are only virtual events. So, you know, invitations to the latest happy hour in Chicago aren't going to help you, right, because you're in Appalachia. But this calendar has all events that are virtual. So that might be a place for you to start. And sign up for the ones that are interesting to you. And you need to go and meet people. In terms of building a team, that's really not done easily remotely, but it's a lot easier than it was before the pandemic, right? It's one of the few benefits of the pandemic. So if you go and show up, I would participate in whatever looks interesting to you and just try to make friends. It's harder to do virtually than in person, but, you know, you play the cards you're dealt, right? So that's a suggestion. And, yeah, we built this specifically because I'm trying to help people who are rural or in second or third tier cities or who are in outside the U.S., right, to connect. So you'll see events actually from all over the world. We get submissions from, you know, Germany and India and, you know, Philippines, whatever. There's no reason you can't participate in those through the beauty of video conferencing. So maybe that's a thing. And I would also look, there are specifically some rural incubators. I don't know if you have Googled that kind of thing, but the phrases would be rural incubator, rural accelerator, rural VC, find what programs they're having, again, especially virtually, and see what you can get involved in. And that brings to mind another one. I do have answers, at least I don't know if they're good answers, but they're fill the airtime, right? We have this other thing. Yes, so we built this as well, Startup Investors Directory. So this is a directory of about 3,000 early stage investors, and they're all looking at startup deals. The reason I bring this up in your context, Jesse, is because it's the first directory I know of that includes categories that you can search on, which include veteran, female founders, immigrant founders, rural founders, LGBTQ, or, you know, like Latin, or, you know, all the African American, like we put all those categories in there, and it's not perfect, but it is a thing at least. And that might give you the ability to search on rural, as far as I know. Have you ever seen anything like that? Is that,
not really. No, I really appreciate the effort to, because yeah, there's so many smart people in this world, of course. And if we can have societies that support, really inventors and entrepreneurs that don't have all the kind of support. Yeah, I just, obviously people tend to kind of be gifted in one area or another, and it seems like it's hard to find a person with both business savvy and like tech invention savvy. So
yeah, that's right.
We could have a whole new economy if that gets more and more supported, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And there are organizations trying to do that. Like I was telling someone else earlier, I think Maurice or somebody, or Jay, sign up for a bunch of newsletters and just click on their articles and get like the first level of newsletter is good, but then go to the events, get on those newsletter lists. And it's going to take you a while, but there are people that do this. And it's not my specialty. I'm doing what I can, but there are people that are specifically interested in rural founders. And there's a bunch of money coming that way too. President Biden signed in a bunch of bills. And there's money coming your way. So the SBDC and the Small Business Administration in North Carolina or your adjoining states or wherever, or even just online, I would, it's worth your time to look around. Oh, here's another good one. Challenge.gov. Challenge.gov is a government website. This is for everybody. Challenge.gov is a website that lists all kinds of challenges from the government. And these are opportunities. This would be good actually for Jay or for Bobby as well. They list things like from the Department of Defense or, you know, the Department of Agriculture, all kinds of stuff. And they're challenges. They say like, whatever, we've got $50,000 for people who can invent this, or, you know, $100,000 program for this. And they're posting stuff constantly. And again, I don't know what's out there, needle in a haystack, but there's stuff, since there are programs coming for rural founders, that's another thing to subscribe to. And just, you know, just read the newsletter until you see something that's helpful. And I think that might, again, get you headed in the right direction. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for the information and support.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nice to meet you, Jesse. I hope to see you again. Keep us posted, and good luck. It's not easy building a startup anywhere, but try doing that out in the mountains, you know, in Appalachia, right? That's good for him. That takes some guts. And that's why we're here. It's guts, right? Guts and grit will make this happen. All right, so I put up the URL there a second ago. Yale, if you wanted to come and pitch, I don't know if you're still here, founderofficehours.com will get you backstage. And let me review here the chat a little bit more. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, we took Jesse. Do investors in the U.S. invest in the ed tech field? So Yale, yes, they do. I got your question earlier. Yale was one of the fancy people I really appreciate who emailed in beforehand. We have an RSVP box. It really helps me prepare. So next time if you want to join us again, please RSVP if you have a question, and I'll be try that much harder to get you on camera. She's actually the only one today who's backstage who did that. So thank you, Yale. And I'll get you on camera if we can. Excuse me a second. I'm going to mute. Okay, I'm back. So yes, do U.S. investors invest in EdTech? Yes, I like this. I like this question because, John, sorry, I see you have to go. We'll see you next time. The question is a good one because there's a nuance to it. So do U.S. investors invest in EdTech? Absolutely, of course. You know, it's a field that needs disruption. However, that market has been saturated, and investors are very leery of it these days because there has been so many attempts and so many failures. It has been a market that I think, well, maybe like a lot of our education system, has not reached its potential. And I personally even have lost money in EdTech. There are so many good ideas and so many people that care, that want to help, and yet the commercialization has not reached the audiences and led to the adoption and, most importantly, the revenues that support that space. That's a fancy way of saying investors are interested but scared. So I think you need to pitch and figure out exactly. I don't know enough about your company to give you more specifics than that, but I would really look hard at the competition, the competitors, and try to look back a little at failures, because so many things, these things have been tried and they just died. And a lot of us are just frustrated. And I'll give you some insight, hopefully that would be useful. Probably the most, well, there's a bunch of factors, I guess, but the most common problem is that EdTech, if it's a company that is selling to consumers, that, you know, like directly to parents, for example, or students, that's challenging because it's just expensive, and people, anything more than zero is not ideal, because people are used to, most people get public education for free, and even if they can't get a better version, they're happy with the free version. So it's really hard to convince people to pay for EdTech, consumers. On the B2B side, which is much more promising, because you have school districts and lots of federal and state and local money, big budgets, it's really hard because the sales cycles are really long. And a lot of companies die. There's this valley of death, right? You have all this enthusiasm and you raise some money and build a team and go, go, go. And then, oh, this is really hard. And you know, we're running out of money and this is taking longer than we thought. And that kills a lot of ed tech companies, because school boards are really hard to penetrate and very political. And they're staffed with people who know education already and have also probably been burned by the previous ed tech failures that I mentioned. So not trying to discourage you, but you asked. That's kind of the ed tech market. It is hard, and harder than you think. That being said, the U.S. education market is huge. So it's worth another try, but you really got to have your act together and really look at the comparables and differentiate yourself. Why is this different, and how are you going to sell it quickly enough to fund your growth? Because investors are very leery, I think, my opinion, right? This is just one guy on the internet. like I said, not legal advice. This is entertainment only. But investors are scared of that space. So unless you can really differentiate yourself, you have a real secret sauce that is going to lead to growth, I think you can find money. But if it's unproven and it's not clear that the value proposition is attracting growth, it's going to be hard. So there you go. I hope that's helpful, and like appreciate you guys being here. Let's see here. Okay, next up. So let's talk about, oh, Jesse, you want to pitch? Jesse, will you come back and try that if you want? We got a few more minutes. And the founderofficehours.com was the URL. So let's try, let me ask the, oh, she says thanks. Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Come on early next time and pitch as well. Happy to hear your pitch. Israeli startup scene is awesome, and happy to support that, and love to hear more about it, right? So let me look at the chat room here and see what I can, what questions we can scoop up here. And Jesse, if you wanted to actually pitch live, we could do that as well. Founderofficehours.com. It's where you just were, but you got to go back backstage because it looks like you left. All right, looking at these questions. When is a good time? Whoops, where did that go? KN842 says, when is a good time to form your C-Corp, before or after starting work with a developer? Great question. So this is a common stumbling block, understandably, for early stage founders, which is, when do you start actually spending money, right? Isn't that what you're really asking? I've been there, I understand. A C-Corp is a type of corporation, for those of you who don't know. It's a type of corporation as opposed to an S-Corp or an LLC or a 501c3, like a nonprofit. A C-Corp is what you want. If you're trying to raise money from investors, you need to have a C-Corp, and it should be headquartered in Delaware. That's just how it works. Even if you're not in Delaware and have no plans of doing business in Delaware, they have a standard set of laws and corporate formation packages that investors like. It just makes the conversations easier. So Delaware, C-Corp. Before or after starting work with a developer? Well, that's up to you. And this is where, this is your, one of your early decisions as a founder. How and when are you going to spend the money? And are you really sure you are ready to do that? So the factual answer is sooner is better, but that's balanced against the cost and expense. You don't really need a corporation to do business in America. I get this question a lot from people who are outside the States. You don't need to be authorized or file something or get permission. America is full of people doing their own thing, and you're allowed to start businesses. Now, of course, in your local jurisdiction, you might need a business license from your town or something, especially if you're running a business out of your house. I'm not suggesting you violate any tax or licensing permit issues, right? What I am saying is you have a limited amount of time, energy, and money to get going, and you should focus on building the company rather than paperwork. So if I were in your shoes, I would talk to some customers. Get that developer on board. Build something that you can get reaction to see if anybody cares, right? That's the real challenge here. It isn't having good ideas. The challenge is finding other people who care and care enough to pay you. So if you have the choice between spending money and time on a corporation or on a developer, I would go with a developer every time, because then you might actually have something to build and to show and to get customer interest and maybe get some revenue and to prove whether incorporating was even worth the time and trouble. Now, that being said, if you need incorporation help, we have some great attorneys, as I mentioned earlier, happy to give you introductions. You can contact me through startupcouncil.org. We do it all day. Happy to help. But I would really focus on making shit happen. And that being said, one legal note. You should have that person sign something for real. You don't necessarily need to be incorporated. Again, this is legal territory, so you should talk to a real lawyer. I'm just spitballing here, okay? But trying to help. What you do need before the corporation is you need a full intellectual property assignment. You need to make sure that you have in writing, let me say it again, in writing from the developer and anyone who is involved in your company that they are transferring all rights and interests to any contributions they make to you. And that's you today, you, your company in the future, whether the name changes or not, it's all rights, title, and interests now and in the future for all successors, some language like that. And real attorneys can sort that out for you. But that's what we see as investors. We see a lot of people, they got things going and they incorporated, but they don't have intellectual property assignment agreements from their staff. And that's where you can really get held up. Things are just going great. And then some guy who worked on your code for like 6 weeks, 3 years ago shows up and says, hey, remember me? I want 30% of the company. And that's going to kill your company, right? Investors don't want to be involved in that kind of nonsense. And you don't have 30% of the company to give away. So you need to get them to sign paperwork. And I would put that even higher on the list than incorporating. So, yeah, good question, and I hope that was helpful. I don't know that I've heard anybody say that before, so, you know, I'm going to write that down. You know what? Thank you. I'm going to put that in my next book. Let's see. IP assignments before incorporation. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Like I said, I just kind of made that up, but it's worth thinking about, especially because you have limited budget, right? I mean, how many things you got to spend money on? Pain in the ass. Okay, we're going to bring Jesse on for a pitch here. He's going to do a couple minute quick pitch, but Jesse, give me 1 second. I just want to catch up with the chat room a little bit. If you're still watching us today, the National Startups Directory is our sponsor. This is a service that we built at the Startup Council, and Startup Council is it's a directory. We built it for you so that people could list there and get more attention from investors. And you can do a quick blurb or you can do the full thing and show your whole deck and everything. And there's a code on the screen for a free listing, and hopefully that is useful to you. Also, did not mention, we have a LinkedIn group. That's going to be hard for anybody to type in, but it's linkedin.com/group/14309041. They don't allow you to give pretty names to groups, so this is a group for all of us to keep in touch. And if you're watching on YouTube later and you want to promote your startup, go ahead. Or you have follow-up questions, go ahead and post there on YouTube, and I'll try to answer them, or somebody from my team will. And I'm happy to help you there. And while you're there, please like and subscribe, because that's it's the only way we get paid, to try to help you. But it's nice to know that somebody is paying attention. Let's see. Okay, so here comes our friend Jesse. So Jesse, you just met a minute ago. And he's going to be back. There he is. Hey, Jesse. Okay. So if you'd like, let's hear your pitch. Keep it a minute or two, right? Let's just talk through it. And everybody in the chat, please listen to Jesse. And if you have questions or comments, really, we won't have time to do a lot of questions, right? This isn't so much about his strategy. It's more about, like, what did he say, or what should he say more of or less of, or, you know, that kind of thing. So just help him with the style, the business. I'm sure it's an amazing business, but let's help him with the pitching. That's the thing we have time for. All right, Jesse, how's that sound?
Sounds great, Scott. Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, go ahead.
And, yeah, this is an entirely new venture I mentioned with this new type of insulation technology, especially for greenhouses, because it is clear of all things, which seems impossible, but I definitely am interested to, you know, maybe get some NSF funding because it's so applicable to many concerns with energy savings and food security and all that. But I think I've read that NSF funding can further help secure venture capital because that certainly reinforces the viability of the tech. But yeah, being a physical tech also, it's of course quite a challenge with the whole manufacturing side of things. I'm currently building a prototype greenhouse that demonstrates the feasibility of the tech, but of course scaling that up to mass production is a whole other thing. But basically, when you drink your hot coffee out of a thermos bottle, it's miraculous how it's able to keep that warm or hot or cold pretty much all day long. And the miracle of that is an ultra-high vacuum that resides between the outer and inner structure of that thermos bottle. And because there's essentially nothing there, heat is very ineffective to move through nothing. But if you replace that stainless steel thermos bottle with basically a polymer membrane that has then got some type of internal structure to it, there is an existing vacuum insulated panel market that's currently kind of in its infancy for housing construction and whatnot because it's very compact and offers extremely high insulation value. However, it's definitely struggling to find a real niche market. But with this, being able to basically drastically cut the cost of commercial greenhouse production and expand its applicability and even various new climates for more types of produce, I feel that could be kind of the perfect application for vacuum tech. Also, they tend to use cores that are quite not very environmentally friendly. To make it clear, this vacuum panel needs to have a very systematic engineered structure to it, which is kind of the secret sauce, how you accomplish that and also employ modern barrier kind of properties. But yeah, I definitely would, there's of course all kinds of facts and figures as to the scale of the market around the world in this greenhouse field, but that's basically the gist of it.
Excellent. Well, good job. So when I do this in person, this is the point where I say, everybody give him a hand, because that's not easy to do. And especially, you know, in front of an audience, either virtual or in person, that takes guts. So thank you for sharing that with us. That sounds very interesting. I have plenty of feedback on the pitch, of course, because that's what I do. But everybody else who's watching, please go ahead and comment and discuss in the chat room and offer him suggestions. I'm going to do mine as well. That was good and a great start. So how could it be better is really the question, right? So fascinating material. Sounds like you know your stuff. Excellent. Clear insulation. I like the thermos analogy. That makes sense because, as you know, with a lot of tech stuff, it's hard for people to relate if they don't relate, right? So we all know what a thermos is. So that's very good. One of the mistakes that technical people, and I'm not saying you, this is the opposite of that, technical people often make when they pitch is they presume a certain level of knowledge among the audience. And investors they're kind of deferential to us, right? And we tend to be, I'd say on average, we're fairly smart people or educated, or at least experienced, but that means we have kind of broad experience. And if it's in depth anywhere, it's usually finance, it's not in materials engineering, for example, or space tech or ed tech or, you know, any of the things that we hear about. So it's really important for technical founders, especially everybody, but especially technical founders, to back up and make a simple analogy, and Jesse did that, like the thermos thing, I got it, right? So that's really important in terms of bringing, as my dad used to say, bring the hay down where the horses can eat it, right? They're like, we got it, okay? Because that context is important for us. It may be really obvious to you guys what you're going to talk about because you spend all that time, but we've never met you before. We have no idea what you're going to talk about. So you've got to lay the foundation, otherwise we're just lost. And this is even more important when you have like a 12 or a 20-minute pitch. if you don't get us understanding where you are in the first 60 seconds, the other 15 minutes are a waste of time. You see everybody's phones come out, you even see people falling asleep, right? I mean, it's like, good time to take a nap because you lost me. So I'm not saying you did that. I'm saying you didn't do that. So that's cool. I'm just supporting you. Okay, so more specific to him. So what you did is also typical of early stage founders, especially technical founders, is you told us a lot about the product, but nothing about the business. And that proportion needs to be, you did like 90-10, it needs to be like 30-40% business at least, because I have no idea how you make money, who your customers are, what the commercialization opportunities are. And you said you have numbers, and I'm sure you do, but we need the numbers right away. That's what we do. Investors eat numbers. Otherwise, it's all pie in the sky. So the sooner you can get to some numbers, the better. So I would suggest, and you can. What's cool about this is it's recorded. You can go watch it on YouTube. You did a fine job, especially for somebody who hasn't done this. Have you ever pitched this before? No. Okay. No. So that was great. So I'm really not throwing stones. I'm trying to help. But go watch, right? And you'll see that from an investor's perspective, I didn't hear anything about how I'm going to make money. And that's my job, right? I didn't hear anything about that. So as a scientist person, you're interested in the concepts. The concepts to us are secondary to the business opportunity. That's just the job, right? Especially for venture capital firms, their money is raised from insurance companies and pension funds and endowments and foundations. Their job is to make more money. So they can't be interested in the concept until the business makes sense. So you just got to kind of reverse, you know, turn the telescope around and tell us about the business. I would also suggest, let's see, part what will lead to that is sort of a problem solution. So I would try to be a little clearer what the problem is. It's obvious to you. It's not obvious to me because I don't know your business, right? I don't know your space or your research. So, you know, what is the problem? And then who's the customer? And then why is your solution the one that's going to solve it? And how does it make money? That kind of structure, problem, solution, business model, and then hopefully, you know, let followed by explosive growth is what we want to hear. So, that's kind of the overview. Is that helpful? Give you some context?
Very much. Appreciate that. Yeah, just being able to get it out into the world helps to kind of feel like this is something that I can do. So I appreciate just the opportunity.
Yeah, totally, man. It's like you hear it coming out of your mouth. Practice helps, right? Even if it's just to your mirror or to your kids or whatever, like your dog, you know, hearing it, you're like, oh, I like the way I said that, or I didn't like the way I said that. And that's why pitch competitions are so important. And this is just pitch practice. Nobody's writing checks. But, yeah, doing that with a little bit of pressure from, you know, knowing people are watching is absolutely critical. So
the fact that, yeah, an actual awesome venture capital guy in out east or west, I mean, in Silicon Valley, that's not every day you get to do that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for appreciating me, too. Cool. Well, that's Jesse. Oh, let me just look in the chat. Did anybody put anything in the chat for suggestions? Let's see. Oh, Christina says, interesting problem, interesting solution. Each one could be 1 to 2 sentences only. Yeah. Way too much detail, and you're pitching the product, not the business. That's what I said. Yeah. How can you pitch the business? Yep. Okay. Good feedback, Christina. Okay. Yeah, I think that's helpful. I think she's right too. The 1 to 2 sentences only, and you did a lot of setting up, and a lot of people do that. If you practice this, and this is for everybody, if pick your time frame, is it a minute, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, almost everybody will try to spend the first 30 to 60 seconds kind of warming up. You know, like, so I got into this, and we did this, and this, and this, and then finally, it wasn't until like three quarters through that you actually said the magic words to me, which were cut costs. That's because that means money, right? And that was way down the list in terms of your priorities in pitching. You did a lot of warm-up. So, again, not throwing stones, but move that up, right? If the business model is that you are cutting costs by providing this, you know, revolutionary material, that's what investors need to hear because that means revenues. So, and that's what gets customers excited too, right? So that's the hard part these days. Ideas are cheap. It's the distribution and customer adoption that's hard. So, okay.
Perspiration.
There you go. Perspiration. Exactly. Great. Well, nice to meet you, Jesse. That was fun. And I think you're our first-time caller from rural Appalachia. So that's awesome to know that we're reaching people out off the coast, inland, as it were. Okay. Jessica says, how often are y'all investing in startups that are not tech-based products. Well, the y'all is very general there. I represent several different groups and different opportunities. And so I'm trying to speak for all investors, but I really don't. You're right. You caught me. I'm mostly a tech investor. Why? Because tech scales faster, right? You guys have seen it in our lifetimes, right? Social media explodes, AI explodes, Uber, right? There's once it's software, it can be just recreated and spread across the globe so quickly compared to, say, you know, a t-shirt shop or a restaurant or a car repair place or, you know, any kind of traditional business or even service-based businesses, right? You might have a spa or you're a chiropractor or a dentist or something. Like, you need more bodies for that. Software, if you figure it out, boom, you know, instantly available worldwide on the internet. So yeah, tech is the sweet spot. Most angel investors, not venture capitalists, but angel investors like me, we're fairly agnostic, meaning we're just kind of looking for interesting opportunities. And I'll give you some insight, actually. We're looking for opportunities where we can make money, because that's what the money's for. We're trying to make more money with the money. But we're also looking for places we can help. Most angel investors do this because they want to add value, often based on expertise we've built from our own careers or causes that we care about. So if you have a mix of that, angel investors are probably the way to go. VCs, on the other hand, are very different. Like I was saying earlier, they tend to have their money given, not given, but invested in them by big institutions. But that's based on a thesis. Every venture capital firm will have a thesis, and it's usually on their website or at startupinvestorsdirectory.com. This thing I was telling you about, their thesis will be on the page, right? We make sure that that's there, and it will say, we invest in late stage aerospace companies, or we invest in women founders at the seed stage, or whatever it is, right? They'll have a specific mission, and that thesis is important for you to pay attention to, because it's a waste of your time and theirs if you're pitching your seed stage cosmetics company to a late stage aerospace firm, right? It's just, you're not going to mix, right? So research is the number one thing that I recommend. That's why we built this, was to try to put in one place a bunch of early stage investors in one place, and you can actually see what their portfolios are, so you can see other things that they've invested in. And that is really critical, because if you're going to reach out to them and you don't know them already, you need to have something in common. And a good one is, oh, I see that you invested in this company. Well, my company is the next one of those, and we're going to be huge, right? You can at least have something to go on. And I would recommend also, of course, checking them out on LinkedIn and personalize. Don't be creepy. Don't stalk them, but be as helpful and friendly as you can to personalize it, because we get flooded with stuff and we can't answer everything. So, all right. So I think we're nearing the end of our time together today. This has been really cool, and I'm glad you guys are here. And let's see, one more. Let's just first think. KN's got some good questions. If pre-seed investors, how to best structure a deal or loan? Well, that's up to you. This is a good place to do a lot of reading online or to come back to our office hours. Happy to talk more about that. There's plenty of videos, and a lot of attorneys have blogs about this. I can introduce you to attorneys, as I mentioned. Most pre-seed deals, and pre-seed means there's no company really yet. It's still kind of an idea. So the first money in, usually, the first check. Most pre-seed deals are done friends and family. And like you said, they could be a loan, totally legit. That's honestly the way the world really works. In tech circles, in the startup world, we don't talk about loans much, but honestly, debt is the way the world works and has for millennia, right? Venture capital is a fairly new invention, and it only applies to a vanishingly small percentage of companies that actually raise multiple rounds of venture capital and go public and become a Facebook, right? That's a tiny amount of the world, but it's the one that spins off lots of millionaires and gets everybody excited. That's why it's in the media all the time. But you need to kind of understand the difference between those, because again, they're tools. One's a screwdriver, one's a wrench. Both are important, but at different times. So loans are usually given once you have some revenue already, but if this is a pre-seed, you could have friends and family give you a loan just based on the potential, and that's lovely, of course, fantastic. More often, if you're getting actual investors like me, or the Tech Coast Angels, or the Thai Global Angels, or the Stanford Angels that I run here in Orange County, California, we look at actual quote-unquote real investments, and that these days is usually done at the pre-seed stage in what's called a SAFE note. SAFE stands for Simple Agreement for Future Equity. You can Google that, SAFE note. And a SAFE note is kind of an agreement to it. You actually invest, but you didn't figure out the price until the company gets going. So, for example, your company, you're raising some money. Me and my friends were really interested, so we're going to put in, say, $50,000. We'll sign a safe note. It's only a 2 or 3 page document that basically says, you've got this happening. We're going to own a small piece of it, $50,000 worth, but we're not sure how much of the company that is until you hit some milestones in terms of whatever is appropriate, you know, building a team, building a prototype, signing some customers, generating revenue. You kind of agree on, like, at some point this is going to get better, and at that point, real investors are going to come in, like a VC firm, and they will set a price, which we call a valuation. So we're going to put in 50 grand now, and we'll probably limit it and say that it's worth no more than, say, 3 million or 5 million, so that we know we have some kind of ownership percentage, small but not too small, not too large, just right. But when another company comes in, real investors come in, and they say, okay, we're going to put real money in, the company's doing well, we're going to put in whatever, $2 million, and we think the company's worth $8 million. So on a pre-money valuation, we're taking a quarter, less than that once you do post-money. This gets complicated quickly. Talk to your lawyer. But then our 50 grand will convert at that price, but no higher than the cap we set. So that's probably more detail than you need. But the safe note is the short answer. Loans are cool. Safe note would be the other. The other forms you hear about are convertible notes, which are much longer documents, and then actual equity, people you actually issue shares in the company or options. Those require a lot more lawyering, and you can spend easily 10, if not 20 or $30,000 on those. That's why the safe note was created, because you can literally print the template out online and fill in the blanks and be done like in 10 minutes. You probably should pay a little more attention than that, but that's kind of the idea. So safe notes is the concept. Okay, so excellent. Nice to see all of you. About time. I got to go. I got to go to a Tech Coast Angels meeting. We're ramping up for some fun, more fun activities, and we're looking for deals. TechCoastAngels.com. And if you actually are interested in pitching me or my friends, let's see, I should put up this link. This can be our finale, I guess. I mentioned already, I think, that I love doing speaking. If it's helpful and you're having a conference in your town, let me know. I travel a lot. I might be in your town anyway. And if not, you want to fly me in, I'm happy to. If it's someplace interesting, I'll even come for free. but no, that wasn't what I was trying to show you. It was the funding. I have a link here for funding, my recommendations for funding, and it is hiding from me. There it is. Okay. So if you're looking for funding recommendations, a lot of you, when I do these shows, you LinkedIn message me or you find our contact form, you email me directly. This is where I'm going to send you so you can save a step. I don't have time to engage with everybody personally, unfortunately, but I'm trying to help a lot of people. So go to this page, and this outlines several of the groups that I'm involved in. Some of the angel groups and services I've mentioned today are listed there, and most of them are open to online application, honestly. You hear a lot about wanting and needing a warm introduction. That certainly helps, but the fact is, you know, good ideas are hard to find, and we're always looking for good ideas. And you can use my name if that helps. Don't pretend we're like best friends, but, you know, just say that you're on the Startup Office Hours or that you're participating in Startup Council events, and that may help a little bit, and happy to help if we can. And then I guess while we're on that, if you really do want to talk personally, I have so much demand for this that I have to charge for it, but this is a page. It's scottfox.com/workwithscott, but I do a limited number of private calls each month, or I can review your pitch deck, or I can do a video of like reviewing your pitch deck. I do that for people. These are not cheap, but I'm happy to do it when I can fit it in my schedule. And I have to charge because that's otherwise I lose control of my schedule. And I have other things going on in my life too, just like you do. So if that's helpful to you, I hope it is. So I'm Scott Fox. Thank you for tuning in. You've been watching Startup Office Hours. We do this every month. So if you're watching the replay, go ahead and stick in a comment and a question. Of course, the likes and shares and subscribes are always appreciated as well. And if you haven't joined the Startup Council yet, please join us over at startupcouncil.org. It's this URL right here behind me. And this is a bunch of services that we've built specifically to help you. Thanks for being here. Please tell your friends. and go sign up on the email list over there so we can keep in touch and always open to your feedback. Thanks for watching, listening, and tell your friends. Hope to see you again next month. Bye-bye now.